We've been talking about faith, head faith, heart faith, and today we're going to talk about kingdom faith. If you would turn to 1 Peter 1:23, put your finger there, and then go to Hebrews 11:3. And when you have your fingers in there, raise your hand, and we will get started. Hebrews 11:3. I need to see the hands. 1 Peter 1:23. Hebrews 11:3. You're all there? Door? It's in the New Testament. You there? 11:3. Amen. I want us all on the same page. The title of this message is Kingdom Faith. First Peter says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And quickly to Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. All of us can understand the rudiments of faith. And all of us can agree that we're saved by faith, right? Okay. But God has told us at the beginning of this year that we have to go deeper. We can't just maintain a faith that is not aggressive, a faith that is idle, a faith that is going nowheres. Our faith must begin to step out of our comfort zones. And we've seen over the last couple of weeks how Jesus dealt with the demoniac. We saw how Jesus was encouraging Peter to walk on water. And we see how head faith gets in the way of heart faith. But today I want us to begin to understand that these are only the rudiments, and that last week when we saw Peter walk on water, we also saw that Jesus was in control from the time that he sent them forth to the time that he brought Peter back into the boat. We saw that God has purposed us to go through trials. He knows that those trials are going to come. He places us in those trials. We know that he prays for us, that our faith will not fail us, and that we'll get through the trial. We also know that he will come to us in the midst of those trials to encourage us, to build us up, to let us know that he is there. We also know that in the trial, he commands us to go through the trial. And finally, we know that we have to take a step of faith to get out of our comfort zone and believe the word of God and what he has said to us as true. And irregardless to what the situation or what the circumstances are dictating to us through our senses, we stand on the word of God and not doubt. Amen? Amen? It's not enough for us to understand what the Lord is doing. We must experience faith in a real sense. We must understand that as he tries us in these fires that we're going to go through, it is for the perfecting of our faith, because it is our faith that gets us the victory. And for too long, Christians have been using their faith in order to try to gain the victory instead of taking faith, knowing that you have the victory, and begin to take that victory and that knowledge and appropriate it against the works of the devil. Amen? We know that by faith, we have become saved. We know by faith we stand in a position of righteousness. We know by faith that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so we know all that stuff, and we have experienced that as truth and as a part of our own reality. So we don't doubt that, right? You know that you're saved. You know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven. You know that you know that you know. There's nothing in this world that can convince you to leave that foundation. And that's great, but it's not enough. It is not enough. We have to constantly remind ourselves and understand what happened at the cross. We must understand that in order for faith to arise, we must die. In order for faith to arise and have power, we have to die. And that doesn't mean in a physical sense. That just means die to ourself, die to what we want, die to what we desire, because the Word of God tells us out of Matthew 6:33, what, Nolan? Amen. Absolutely correct. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first His righteousness. And all this stuff will be added to you. See, we're seeking God for the stuff. We're not seeking God. And in order for us to have faith, kingdom faith, we have to seek God and Him and His righteousness. And what we do is we really insult Him because we're going to Him for our needs. And it's not that we shouldn't go to Him for our needs, but His will is what we should be going to Him for. We should want to know Him and His will all the more. We have to remind ourselves that when Jesus died on the cross, that He atoned for my sin and your sins and the world's sin. We have to understand that when He was beaten, 40 stripes, He was actually taking on all the sicknesses and diseases that the earth has experienced from the fall. He was actually taking them upon His body, and that all who would believe should not suffer under this duress anymore. He took the crown of thorns upon His head as an element of breaking the curse that was upon the soils of the ground that was dictated by God at the beginning. And when He gave up His spirit, the Bible tells us that the veil broke in two from the top to the bottom, signifying that God had now made a way for mankind to enter in and have fellowship with God. We know that because of His blood, He took the blood, He went to the heavenly temple, and He poured out His blood. And we know that in the blood of Christ, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And that we know that the way of getting cleansed is to repent and turn away and forsake those sinful attitudes, behaviors, and begin to replace them with the will of God, understanding the will of God. We then understand, too, that in His atoning for us, that we surrendered all our rights. Once we received this, we surrendered our rights and privileges that we have here as human beings because we seek His will. We seek to know Him and what He has for us. And our desire is to know Him and to know Him more. It is a desire that as we continue to go into the Word of God, we continue to have His desire burning in our hearts. But that still is not enough. Still not enough. Remember I said a long time ago, it's going to cost you everything that you are and everything that you have to follow Jesus Christ. But today I'm here to tell you that in giving all that you have and all that you are, you receive everything that He is and everything that He owns. That's a good exchange. That is far better. You know, there's no sickness. There's no death. There's no lack in Jesus Christ if we put our faith and trust in Him. And a lot of us have gone through things in our lives and we have stepped out in faith and we have wavered a little bit. But do we actually really believe the Word of God? Do we pray for ourselves in a way that by His stripes I am healed? Do we say that we thank Christ for breaking the curse over us and our families? Or do we perpetuate it? You see, if we're not speaking the Word of God, we're not speaking life. And so for us to have kingdom faith is to understand that there's something deeper in this Word than just the words themselves. It is not a principle for us just to read it and apply it. Because the more we try to apply it, the more we're trying to attain victory. And the truth of it is, the more we try to do something, our condition becomes worse, right? And I mean, these are elemental things that we should be understanding. We know that Jesus When he died and gave up his spirit, he spent 3 days and three nights in hell. We know that. He was punished on our behalf. He suffered God's total wrath on our behalf for our rebellion. He didn't commit sin. He didn't even know what sin was. And he willingly went to hell for two purposes. To preach the gospel to all those who were there waiting for Messiah to come. And second, to leave there in total victory over the devil and his minions. You see, until we know him and the resurrection of his life, we will be living less than what God has ordained for us. You are spiritual people. You are a people that is more powerful than you could even ask or imagine. But Pastor, you know, that was Jesus. That's only certain men and women that do that because they spend time with Jesus and this or that. Yeah, that's true. But they're no more special than you or I. They sold everything that they had, gave it to God and said, you know, I'll do whatever you want. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll be whatever you want me to be so that people can come to your table, to come into your kingdom. You see, it's not enough for us to have faith because faith in salvation just gets us into heaven. It's our obedience that gets us to rule and reign with Him. And this is what God wants. He wants us to rule and reign with Him in the millennium kingdom when it comes. But we don't have to wait till the millennium comes. We can do that now. And so kingdom faith is understanding that it's no longer my faith. It's no longer faith in God. It is the faith of God. And the faith of God is speaking those things that aren't as though they were and watch God do these things. Well, Pastor, you know, that's fine and dandy for you. You know, you got a real neat relationship with Him. And you know what? You're able to do this and do that. I can't do anything. I can't chase demons out unless I have a relationship with the King. I can't heal anybody unless the King heals them. I can't speak those things that are not as though they were unless I see them first. And so what we have to understand is the rudiments of everything. We were nothing. We were created from the invisible. And the world was created from those things that were not seen. Can you see God? No. But that does not negate the fact that He is. And that He created everything. Even the wicked, until the day of destruction, He has created. We have to remind ourselves that these things that we see, this physical reality, is only going to be here for a short period of time. The reality of the Spirit is going to be forever and ever. The Bible says, you know, God has been from eternity to eternity. And I pondered at times, what are you trying to say? And He showed me back in Genesis that there was a reality before we came into reality. That God destroyed all that stuff to bring us into this reality, to experience God in a loving relationship, to experience Him in a way that our faith would take over and give life to everything. There's only one time that I've seen Jesus do something that created death. That's when He cursed the fig tree. Everywhere else that He spoke and did and accomplished was to bring life, to bring healing, to bring salvation to man. How did He do this? Well, He's God. Yeah, that's true, but He's man. But He's God. God's in you. God was in Jesus. Even though Jesus is God, 100% God, 100% man, He had to have the faith of God. And He tells us in John, He says, you know, I do nothing unless I see the Father doing it. And all He did was copy what the Father did. How did He see this? It's invisible. How do you know things are coming when they're invisible? You see, you have the kingdom faith in you. You need to begin to start allowing this to come out of you. Jesus provided salvation to all who will believe, and he gives the kingdom to all those who obey his word. And none of this, we can't see the kingdom of heaven. We can't even see our salvation. We believe by faith. And Jesus acted upon on faith. So if we can settle this once and for all and know that everything that is was created from things we can't see, then there is a greater reality, a deeper reality that we must experience. Amen? And that deeper experience is going to require faith. A faith that is not of our head, because we saw that head faith was the 11 disciples stayed in the boat. And it's not a heart faith that is weak, which gets us out of the boat and then allows us to just stand there and enjoy the moment. It is a kingdom faith that takes authority and power and utilizes it in such a way that it brings life and healing and it destroys the works of the devil. Do you know that you are created to raise havoc upon the kingdom of darkness? You have been created for that purpose. But how do we know that there's a kingdom of darkness? We can't see it. Do we turn the lights off and pretend that the kingdom of darkness is here? No. We believe because the Word of God tells us. And what happens is a lot of us study the Word and look at the Word and we get the Logos, but we don't get the Rhema. The Logos is reading the written Word. The Rhema is the revelatory truth of the Spirit in the Word. It's the Word in the Word. And until you get the revelation, you will not be able to see what God's doing. You will not be able to comprehend the kingdom of God. You will have an understanding that is not complete. And so the people of God will not rise up. Turn to John. John 6. I want you to see something. All of us would love to experience the opportunity to pray for somebody and they get healed, right? And all of us would like to experience casting out demons, right? Right? All of us would love to see that. All of us would like to have that. John 6, 28 and 29 says, Then they said to him, that's Jesus, what shall we do that we may do the works of God? What shall we do to do the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. What must we do to do the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. You see, we equate our spirituality by things that we do. Right? We say, you know what? I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Right? And so when somebody says, okay, I need you to step out here and do this. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. What do you mean you can't do it? Well, you know, and all of a sudden they stumble over their tongue. They can't talk right. What do you mean you can't do it? I think for so long Satan has deceived us in thinking that the Word of God is important and that we should read the Word and do the Word of God, right? But Jesus says something contrary to that. Because we're saying, what do we need to do the works of God? And Jesus says, that's not the work for you to do. That's God's job. Our job is to believe. And we have trouble believing. Do you believe that God wants to use you to cast out a demon? Yeah, Pastor, but you know, there's no buts. Do you believe or don't you believe? You see, we're talking about something that you cannot see, but it's still a reality. And I've shared with you the times when I was in England and this guy was jumping in and out of our circle. We're praying in the Spirit and this demon-possessed guy manifested and he's out of jumping in and out of this circle. And we're praying and suddenly the one brother gets up and he commands that person to stay frozen in the circle. And he starts casting out these demons and he starts frothing at the mouth and expunging these foul odors. Every time he's casting out the demon, he'd tell the demon, you know, give me your name. And the demon would say its name and he would cast that demon out. And all this stuff was going on. It was pretty cool for me as a young Christian. I had only been saved a couple, 3 years, and being a party to this. Remember what happened with the disciples when the Father asked them to cast out this spirit that was causing the Son to go in? And remember what I said that the enemy does? He uses the religious people to confuse and bring arguments so that we become distracted. Kingdom faith is not being distracted. It is taking the authority and knowing full well what is going on. It is believing that God wants to heal a person. It is believing God wants to deliver a person. It is believing God to meet my needs. But if those needs, if my situation, my needs and stuff take precedent over me serving somebody to get them one into the kingdom of God, guess what? Nothing happens. Why do you say that, Pastor? Did I seek the kingdom first, or did I seek God's kingdom for my need? It didn't say seek for my need. It says seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10. I want us to begin to understand that we've got to plug into the invisible. We're running around here trying to make things happen for our lives, and only until we're plugged into the invisible will the physical begin to line up in our lives. 2 Corinthians 10. Verses 3 through 6, it says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons of our fight are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of a disobedience once your obedience is complete." What's Paul saying here? He's first telling us that we're in an invisible warfare. We can't see it, but it's a reality. And God has equipped us with these divine weapons, but it is predicated in your position. What is your position? Are you in Christ or are you out of Christ? And I can't say that for you. Me, I'm in Christ. I want to use the weapons of this warfare because they're divine, which means they're not carnal. They're not for me. It doesn't come out of myself. And the reason for these weapons are divine is for the purpose of destroying arguments that create doubt and unbelief in the believer. How am I going to have the faith of God when my heart is filled with doubt and unbelief? How can we recognize this? How can we recognize whether I have faith? Because the Bible says Peter saw that this man had faith. How did, you know, I'm asking God a lot of these questions now. How did he see faith? How did he recognize this? How do we have faith? How do we have faith to get saved, but we don't have enough faith to exercise the divine gifts and weapons that God has given to us to walk as kingdom people in the power and authority that God has delegated to his church, which is us, worldwide. They're invisible. But that does not make them any less real. And what we need to do is like what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. Who can quote Romans 12, 1 and 2? Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, submit yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable, it's reasonable. And be no longer conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can we see how these things are coming? Can we see how the pieces are there? We need to fit them together. Because if you can't see them, then you need to repent, because you've got something that's in your heart that is creating doubt and unbelief, and you need to get rid of it. That's the truth. What has God said to you? Well, God has said such and such. Well, why can't you do it? Well, you know, because I don't. That's excuses. The king doesn't want to hear about excuses. Pastor doesn't want to hear about excuses. And if you know me long enough, you'll say, don't tell me what you can't do. Tell me what you got so we can start there. We'll use that and watch God take over. And all of us fall into this. Not just you, I fall into it too. How do I build myself up in faith? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Well, how do I get it? Well, I have to get into the Word. I have to read it. And what I did early on was I read it aloud. I still read it aloud. I mutter it under my breath. That's what meditation is about. It's muttering. It's not screaming it out in front and waking up everybody and your neighbors and all. It's reading it in such a way that you meditate upon it. And it becomes part of you. And it's a reality that when God begins to test you in it, you know the reality because you're experiencing it. That's what happened with the disciples. They experienced. They had to take faith and experience faith. Not head faith. Not just plain hard heart faith, but kingdom faith. Kingdom faith. Taking the kingdom by force. Being radically different than what you... Do you understand? This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. We're to believe in Jesus. Everything that pertains to life is in Jesus Christ. Everything. Our needs, our wants, our desires. Well, Pastor, I desire to be a rock star. If that's God's will for you, praise God. Is it God's will? Well, I don't know. Well, you need to find out. I need to build faith. I need to be around people of faith. I need to hear the Word of God proclaimed in truth. I need to step out in faith. I need to get out of my comfort zone. And what God's trying to do, He's trying to put the proverbial spiritual atomic bomb under your butt to get you out of your comfort zones and my comfort zones. Oh, that's not what God wants. Yeah, that's what God wants. God's not coming until this gospel is preached to Williamstown. Right? Right. It's preached to all the world. The kingdom according to the king, not the kingdom according to what we've made it. Don't your hearts burn for lost souls? Don't your heart burn for that our kids may know Jesus Christ in an intimate way? Doesn't your heart burn to destroy the works of the devil? Cast demons out? You have power and authority. There's more power and authority in God's little finger that He wants to use you than there is in all of hell. You have this power. But it's going to take faith to believe it. It's going to take you experiencing God in a new way. James 1, 6 through 8 says, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave on the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. You got faith? Show me. Show me your faith. James says, I'll show you my faith by what I do. Because he knew it wasn't him doing it. He knew that all he had to do was step out and believe God. And God would do it. Are you ready to step out in God? Are you being challenged of your religion? Because this has nothing to do with religion. Religion will cause you to be shackled and bound up, and demons will laugh at you trying to make the escape. And they put the keys in your hands to escape, and you don't know how to use it. And you believe God for the salvation of your family. Can you believe God for those who are sick among you? Can you believe God to get you that job that he wants you to have? Or can you believe God wants to thwart you from getting the job that you think you should have? Remember, Jesus knew that the storm was coming. He put them in there. Jesus knows that the storms are coming in your life, and he's putting you in there. He's putting me in there to see what kind of faith we got. The Bible says God will shake the tree, and yet he will shake it again, and what remains is his, and what falls, he discards. Are you going to be a part of that tree that when he shakes it, it don't matter? It doesn't matter if it's gale force winds, hurricanes, atomic bombs, or what. You're still hanging on to Jesus. Or are you going to be that which falls to the ground? You see, kingdom faith is understanding that there is a greater reality than the scope of where I am. It is seeing what the Father wants to do. The Father wants all men to come to repentance. He wants everyone to get saved. He does not want anyone to die. And that's our job. Our job is to go out and preach the marvelous kingdom of God for the forgiveness of sin. That he has given us dominion once again, power and authority. But our job is to believe. And we need to fight to believe. We need to cast down every argument, everything that builds itself up, that gives us an excuse not to. Oh, I'm not feeling well today. Does an army stop fighting the enemy because they don't feel good today? Generally, they're killed. We have to understand that this warfare is real. It's going to take his faith to see us through. It's going to take us believing that what he says in here is true. And then stepping out. Remember I said faith is not believing in the effects of what's going on. It's believing in spite of the consequences of what this physical reality says. My prayer is that I want to see God's church arise and shine. My prayer is to see this glorious church of Jesus Christ come into a place of power and dominion. See, that's the church I see in Revelation. That's the church that we are part of. That's the church that God has died for to impart his life into us. To impart his faith into us. But faith in just the word is not enough. Faith and our obedience to the word will give us those experiences that we need in order to have God's faith and do greater works. Chickens, okay. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, God. I pray, God, that your word today, God, that we have kingdom faith, that we not just have a head faith any longer, God. We not even have a meager sensibility of heart faith, God, but we have your faith. We have your faith to believe the impossible. That, God, there's nothing too difficult for you. There's nothing that if we ask for the salvation of our family members, God, that you will do it. And we will rejoice now and rejoice the day that they succumb to your will. God, we rejoice that you have broken the back of the enemy and you are the victor in everything. And so we don't need to do anything but believe in the victory that you've acquired for us. That God, that we would change our position of trying to do something and just believe that it's already done. God, may we be Satan's nightmare, God. May we end up being this glorious church that you are saying that we are. May we have our eyes open, God, to see just how glorious this church is. Because in my weakness, I'm strong. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you working through me, God. Father, I pray that your people would come to this reality and understand, God, just how important it is for us to get out of our comfort zones and walk over to someone and find out if they know Christ or not and build that relationship. Inviting them, God, as your word says, compel them to come in to Father's house. God, we don't want them to experience a dead religion. We want them to experience life unspeakable, eternal life, a life that is overcoming, a life that is full of satisfaction because you satisfy those who hunger and thirst after you. So God, as we go forth, I pray that this week that our lives would touch your life, that you would energize us, God, opening up our mouths and encouraging people to be a part of your great move, God. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.